Hello, all you growers out there. Thank you for tuning into GrowCast today. Jordan River here, and Dr. Coco is returning today, everybody. So excited to speak with the very knowledgeable Dr. Coco again. And this episode's great because we just really run down a list of frequently asked questions that I come across a lot in the grow world. And it's just a really great format for him to spread some widespread knowledge about cultivation. I know you guys are going to love it. Before we get started, just a quick heads up. GrowCast membership registration will be closing January 7th. So if you guys want to check out the program and be part of the next giveaway where we give away $5,000 in grow gear, you got to sign up before January 7th, mygrowpass.com. Check it out, guys. And before we jump into the show, let's give a little love to today's sponsor, everybody, Cultilux. Yes, that's right. Cultilux grow lights, everybody. Just go to Cultilux.com, Cultilux.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 gets you 10% off just for listening to this show. And members of MyGrowPass.com get 25% off their grow lights from Cultilux, everybody. Cultilux is the leading industry manufacturer of CMH fixtures, and they provide just what the plant requires for a specific need to grow to their full potential. With their industry-leading 315-watt, 630-watt, and brand-new 1,000-watt double-ended CMH bulbs and fixtures, Cultilux has the right fixture just for your needs. Cultilux specializes in the CMH spectrum, everybody. You've heard how great it is for flower. Well, check it out today at Cultilux.com. Get 10% off with GrowCast10. And when you're ready to save 25% on your lights, join MyGrowPass.com. All right, everyone, let's get started with Dr. Coco. Thank you all for listening. Enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. We have an awesome episode. Dr. Coco is back on the line. What's up, Dr. Coco?
Hey, how's it going, Jordan? I'm glad to be back with you.
Oh, man. So glad to be back in action. So much great content that you've brought to the show. We can't thank you enough, man. Before we get started, please, listeners, share this show with a friend and check out our other shows, The Homegrown Helpers and the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast. Perfect for listening to in your grow, everyone. Dr. Coco, man, what have you been up to, my friend? How's Coco for Cannabis going? Talk to me about the upcoming Grow Challenge.
Yeah, no, Coco for Cannabis is going great. So, I'm Dr. MJ Coco from Coco for Cannabis, for those in your audience that don't know me. And Coco for Cannabis, as a website, we focus on the science and practice of growing cannabis. We really started the site because we were kind of frustrated with the lack of reliable information and a lot of pet theories being floated as scientific fact online. And so we tried to create a website that's focused on growers, on home growers, and, providing really scientific and accurate, reliable information to them. So I'd invite anybody that hasn't come by Coco for Cannabis to come on by, check out our table of contents and our articles. We also do these grow challenges. And we have a big one coming up, the New Year's Grow Challenge. These are, collaborative grow-alongs. They're not really competitions. We try to do everything in the spirit of collaboration and get growers to sort of grow together, to share their experiences, to be able to ask questions, and to get everybody, growing along at the same time and going through the same experiences. It's really a great way to build a community and feel like you're part of something larger than, just you and your plants.
Totally.
So we've got almost 300 growers signed up for the New Year's Grow Challenge. It's going to start on January 1st, and growers are welcome to grow any plant. You can grow autos or photos. You can grow seeds or clones. We've created 8 different groups for the Grow Challenge. We have a group of genetic testers that are actually working with Kyle Breeder, a Predicated Breeding, that are going to do a big genetic test for him. And then we got 7 other groups that you can sort of slot yourself into. One group is oriented around Jack Herrera. So if you're growing Jack Herrera or anything related to Jack Herrera, you can join that group. We have Naked Gardener is leading our Pineapple Express autos. So he's got a bunch of growers together that are going to grow Pineapple Express Auto. We have the Blues, which is a group for anybody growing any strain related to blueberry. Nice. We have the OGs, growing anything related to OG Kush or anything. A lot of strains that end in OG or cross right. With OG Kush. We got the Bag Seeds. If you're growing seeds of opportunity and risk, then
that's genius.
Sign up for the Bag Seed team. And then we got the Misfits, which are, you know, anybody that doesn't fit into any of those other teams. And Newt is leading the Misfits, and he's just a hysterical leader of the Misfits. So you'll have a lot of fun in that group. And finally, the Clones. We got one of our users, Prof Knows It All, is trying to round up people to grow clones with him. So if you're growing any kind of clone, you can join that group. And each group has the sort of area of the forum for their journals. And then we got a big shared area of the forum for New Year's Grow Challenge conversations. All the different groups have welcome threads already where people are getting to sort of know each other. And we actually just launched the forum. So people are starting to make their journals and sort of join up with the groups. And, you know, we're just going to grow together. We're going to try to collaborate. If you're a brand new grower, this is an opportunity to get in with a bunch of helpful people that will be going through the same experience that you are. And if you're an old experienced grower, you know, we'd love to have you come by and sort of lend some of your experience to the group and you know, help out the newer growers and just be part of the community. And one of the things that I'm really excited with this challenge, we've been doing these for a while, but with this challenge, I'm starting to get some prizes put together. So
nice. People love prizes, yeah, man.
First off, just a couple of weeks into the grow, I'm going to give away a Mars Hydro TS1000 LED grow light.
Nice. Not a bad thing to receive for free,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, that's not too shabby. It's actually one of our top recommended lights. It's a small size, so it only covers about a 2x2 or a 3x3 footprint, but it's a really good light for a small space. You could get two of those to put in almost any kind of grow room if you wanted to. You could grow pretty good plants with just one of them. So that's a really cool prize. We're going to give that away just 2 weeks into the grow on January 14th and by lottery to everybody that's in the New Year's Grow Challenge. It's not sort of based on how well you grow. None of the prizes that we're going to do are sort of designed to put growers into competition with each other. We're going to do like best journal. We're going to do best grow me for sort of that person that's always there lending a hand and encouraging words, you know, most helpful grower and things like that throughout the grow. We got some other fun things in addition to the light though. I got 4 sets of the Atlas Plant Trainer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Rob's made that available. And of course, Atlas Plant Trainer is probably the coolest thing that you can use to train your plants.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer, man. I say it all the time.
Yeah, it's such a cool thing. I figure almost anybody could have fun using an Atlas Plant Trainer. So, you know, maybe you don't need the grow light, but I think almost anybody could use one of these trainers.
100%, man.
Yeah, so that's really cool. We're going to figure out sort of how we're going to give those away, but I'm planning to give a couple of them away pretty close to the beginning of the grow so people can use them. And then I'll probably hold on to a couple to give as sort of prizes at the end of the grow. We got seeds coming in for prizes. We got, you know, of course, our Cocoa for Cannabis t-shirts, and I'm still working with other vendors and sort of getting together these other prizes. So we're just going to have a ton of fun. I'm going to be giving away stuff. It's free to join. There's sort of no commitment. There's no downside here. So come on over to Cocoa for Cannabis and sign up for the New Year's Grow Challenge, you know, and try to get your grow in order to be able to either cut your clones and join the clones group on January 1st or drop your seeds and
that's awesome.
You know, join one of those other.
Nice. I love the groups idea, man. That's really, really cool. And then
Obviously
everyone go sign up for this New Year's one coming right now, but then next quarter you got another one dropping, right? Is there going to be an auto flower only grow challenge coming?
Yeah. In the spring, sort of right on the heels of the New Year's Grow Challenge. So if the New Year's Grow Challenge is kind of too quick for you, it's going to be coming up in just a couple of weeks here, but you might be able to get your sort of grow aligned to do the spring auto flower challenge with us.
Oh man.
And that's going to start on 4/20 on April 20th. We'll drop seeds for that. And we're setting that up as different breeders. So we're going to create groups for the spring auto flower challenge around breeders, around like Dutch Passion will be a group. Mephisto will be a group. Fast Buds will be a group. And we'll probably put together a couple other sort of breeders, and then you can get whatever autoflower seeds you want and join that group. And it'll be really interesting to see how auto flowers from different breeders sort of compare to each other.
It's a great
And you'll
service.
Be able to grow them. You know, it'll be really interesting. We did the spring auto flower challenge last year too. And one of the most fascinating things about that was seeing how the same auto flowers performed really differently in different grow spaces and different setups with different lights and different media and things like that. So it's really a tremendous learning experience too. You really get to see a lot of things. And you know, I've been doing this for a while and I learned a lot in sort of going through that spring auto flower challenge with a bunch of other people doing it at the same time. And I think we'll really get that out of the New Year's Grow Challenge as well. You really, you know, you learn stuff about what other people are doing. You see little tricks that other people are doing at certain times. You recognize how people have certain problems and other things like that. It's just an incredible learning experience to see everybody going through it together.
Awesome, man. We love it. We love it. So everyone head to Coco for Cannabis, sign up for the Grow Challenge, make your New Year's resolution to grow better cannabis, everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. In the spirit of collaboration, we don't want to sort of make fun of everybody. You're not going to get put down by anything. If you're a brand new grower, you don't have to worry about sort of how you're going to perform. You can come there with sort of open arms and be greeted by a community that's really going to try to support you and help you have success and make you feel good about, you know, the hobby of growing your own.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. That segues nicely into our first topic for today. Dr. Coco, I wanted to have you back and I was thinking, what can we talk about? And I've just been inundated with a lot of questions lately. And what really tantalized me was to get you on the line to do a kind of FAQ where we run down some of the most frequently encountered issues and questions and subjects that I come across just having the Instagram account and with the membership program and all this different stuff. You want to run down a couple FAQs for us today?
Absolutely, man. Let's get into it. I think this is a good forum for this because, you know, hopefully there'll be something for everybody in these frequently asked questions.
For sure. And you were just touching on exactly what I want to start with, auto flowers and autos versus photos, you know? I feel like there's a lot of, I don't want to just say misconception. I'm going to say misconception right off the bat. I think that there's the old school thought, like autos have come so far, right? There's still the people who haven't like woken up to that. And then there's the people who are now all about them. And now there are these people who are growing just for autos for extraction because of the, you know, the way they cycle and their resin production and blah, blah, blah. What do you think of autos versus photos? Talk about some of the science behind, you know, auto flowering cannabis.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing is to just sort of realize how autos and photos are different. The genetics on this were confusing and misreported for quite a while in terms of sort of the genetic diversity within cannabis and how that diversity clusters into subspecies or species. So a lot of people are still sort of under the impression that autoflowers are a different species or a different subspecies of cannabis. It seems more likely or a better classification would be to think of them as a variety that has a specific trait. And that autoflowering trait can be crossed into other varieties of cannabis. So most cannabis plants are photoperiod, and photoperiodism is a fairly common feature in plants to be sensitive to the day length and to enter into different cycles of growth based on how long or short the days are and the difference between the day-night cycle. And the way that cannabis is autoperiod is when the night period exceeds the day period, they enter their flowering stage cycle when the night period becomes long enough for the various strains.
Detecting the seasons, if you will.
Yeah. And autoflowers come from the ruderalis sort of family of cannabis, and they come from northern latitudes where day length was really long and then sort of very quickly becomes very short. So in really northern latitudes, if the plant waits for the night to become long enough, it will very quickly run out of light. The seasons change too quickly and it would not be able to produce its seeds before it got sort of chilled out and died because of adverse climate. So the plants that evolved in that area developed auto flowering or this auto flowering trait, which meant that they didn't wait for that photo period to change, and they shift to the flowering morphology automatically as the course of their sort of stage of life growth.
That's so crazy, because they wouldn't be able to survive. They wouldn't be there if they didn't have that trait.
Right. They need to switch to flowering while the days are still really long. Otherwise, they'll run out of time for being out of the season.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so they're different in that regard. And now, when, like you were saying, when sort of the ruderalis traits first started entering into like the cannabis community through lowrider primarily, they were weak plants, small plants that had really low cannabinoid production. But that auto-flowering trait has now been bred into vigorous strains with high cannabinoid production. And so that's what we're really seeing, is refinements in breeding that are able to sort of cross that auto-flowering trait into these other plants that produce much better quality and are much bit more vigorous growing plants. So yeah, there's a bunch of myths about autoflowers. And I think that it's definitely time to reconsider some of those myths.
Yeah, for sure.
One of them is that autoflowers are tiny little plants, right? Or that they're just smaller plants. I push back on that quite vigorously. The biggest plants I've ever grown were autoflowers. I found them to be difficult to control in terms of sort of the rapidity of their growth.
Right.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that you can give them extra light during the flowering stretch. So autoflowers, just like photos, that first couple of weeks after they switch over into flower production, they enter a really vigorous period of growth. And, you know, photo period plants typically double or more in size during the stretch. Autoflowers, you can run the light for 18 or 20 hours a day instead of only 12 hours a day and get much more vigorous growth out of autoflowers.
And you find that that rest period is adequate for them?
Yeah.
That's a big one. That we're going to actually touch on later in a different sense, you find that they need that rest period. Is 4 hours kind of ideal for autos, in your opinion?
You know, that's what the breeders at Dutch Passion were arguing in terms of the trials that they had done with their auto flowers, that they felt that 20 on, 4 off was sort of the best light cycle for the most rapid growth of their strains. That doesn't necessarily translate to other strains.
Interesting.
But yeah, we will come back to that sort of 18-6, 24, 24-0.
Yeah, because my thought is you need some rest there. You've even talked about how plants will adjust and acclimate to just that amount of rest period and formulate their biology appropriately.
Yes. No, so I'm not talking about 24-0. I'm talking about 24.
Yeah, right.
So 20 on and 4 off.
Yeah, I'm following. Yeah.
Which is similar to 18-6, really. And it is the rhythm of it more than anything else there. So it's the keeping that sort of consistent that the plant can know what to expect.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyways, the tiny little plants thing, I think that to a large extent, that's a commentary at this point, at least. I mean, it used to be a commentary on the genes, and the plants really were tiny little plants. At this point,
totally.
If the autoflowers that you're growing are tiny little plants, that's more a commentary on the grower, I think, than it is on the autoflower.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you can see these autoflower Facebook groups that are just like, some people are crushing it. What do you think about topping autos? And I know there's some that are like super autos that allow you to go longer, but talk about the dangers of topping autos.
Well, you don't want to top any plant sort of once it enters flowering, because you're just sort of hurting yourself at that point. You're not giving the plant adequate time to grow. But that is a myth. I mean, I think that the idea that you should not top autos is a myth, but I think you have to be aware of how to top them and when you can top them.
Perfect answer. Exactly right. And what type of autoflower you're dealing with, and if it's going to have enough time to recover, if it's a finicky strain, right?
Exactly. Some of these new autos that they're really breeding for speed, they have autoflowers now that are supposed to be done from seed faster than any plant I've ever flowered.
Jeez.
Right?
That's so crazy.
They have 7-week autoflowering strains from seed to harvest.
That's
and I'm
incredible.
Like, 7 weeks is like, that's a really tight flowering window. So when you start thinking, okay, well, how are those 7 weeks divided into vegetative growth versus flowering? That plant's going to have to enter its flowering cycle while it's still a teenager in terms of days. And it's pretty tough to top a plant by that point. However, it's also going to have to be a really vigorous plant in order to be only a 6 or 7 week strain.
Right.
So I don't know that I would try to top one of those really fast ones. If you're growing a 9 or 10 week autoflower, there's certainly enough time to top once.
That's what it seems like. And some people get some good results from that. I see a lot of other people low stress training.
I really like topping. I think that if you have time to top, it's more effective to top the plant than to not. Mm-hmm. So my rule with autoflowers is with any plant, you shouldn't top it until it has 6 nodes.
Ooh, that's...
And that's primarily because of the root growth.
Okay.
You need to get the plant growing strong enough and have enough mass to it. But I usually top them when they have 6 nodes. I'll top it down to the third. Even with autoflowers, I mainlined them, or I manifolded them, really.
Oh, wow.
But that was 10 to 12 week autos. So 10 to 12 week autos, you have a little over 30 days in which you can do training. Really, 30 days is about the limit on when I would want to top a 10 to 12 week autoflower. But you know, if you get your seedlings growing well, autoflowers are pretty vigorous seedlings. And if you take good care of them, then you can get a 6-node plant ready for its first topping by the time it's 16 to 18 days old,
right?
Maybe 20 days old, you know, depending on how you germinate and those other issues. And that's counting from when the seed gets wet. So I'm sort of expecting you to get your seedlings growing, get them into your media, and really keep conditions perfect so they take off. If you can do that first topping in the first 3 weeks, it usually takes less than a week for plants to grow out of that first topping so that they can be topped again. So I can top 10 to 12 week autoflowers twice and make them into a manifold in like less than 4 weeks in autoflowers, and then they'll start flowering the sort of the fifth into the sixth week and enter their, you know, 10 to 12 week total lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
But it all depends on that. It depends on getting the plants growing well to begin with.
Yeah, not losing any of that precious time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a ticking time bomb.
Right. Autoflowers are a ticking time bomb. And if you screw anything up early, you're going to end up with a small plant. Right. And the plant's going to flower anyways, even though it's a small plant. And you're going to end up with a bad reputation of auto flowers.
Yeah, good point. And that's probably where a lot of people get that from. I think that's one advantage that photo period holds over auto is you have that extra time. You have that extra control. Right.
Yep.
Aside from that, I feel like auto flowers are rapidly closing in on quality and yield.
Yes.
So
I think they exceed yield. I think it's pretty, they exceed yield per grow time.
Oh, good point.
They don't exceed yield per kilowatt hour.
Oh,
and
wow.
So that's an important distinction for some growers, but they certainly seem to exceed yield per grow.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So is it going to take over? What are we going to see 50-50 here coming soon? Is it going to be like, are we going to get just the autoflower gene into all our favorite strains and people are just going to grow autoflower?
Yeah. When you look forward into sort of the future of this, it definitely seems that autoflowers are going to play a huge role.
I'm glad you agree because I've been feeling that way. And this is someone who's never grown one. I've been 100% photo period. But like, if you just look at it, that seems to be the way forward.
There's a lot of advantages for management as well. All of the light cycle issues become so much easier to manage in commercial operations than the photo period plants.
And in home grows too. Like you don't want to, if you don't have to light tight, yeah, that's a really good point. So
yeah.
So yeah, that is definitely a
so
good
anyways,
overview.
We're talking about getting your autoflowers growing fast. And I want to bring up this other myth about autoflowers that I hear a lot and I just want to try to quash again as much as I can. This idea that you shouldn't transplant autoflowers. People say you got to start them in final containers because they don't have a lot of time or I mean,
maybe they don't want the transplant shock to slow down the progress.
Right. But The reason that we do a transplant strategy is because it's faster. We don't transplant photoperiod plants because we want to slow them down. Yeah. I mean, we transplant photoperiod plants because it helps them grow faster. It helps them grow better root mass, and it helps them grow faster. And let me just say, transplanting plants that are grown in containers is absolutely ubiquitous in horticulture. There aren't plants out there
you don't transplant.
Yeah, well,
non-transplanters,
unless they're not grown in containers. I mean, the kinds of plants that we're growing in containers like this, one of the big issues with growing a plant in a container is that the roots tend to grow to the outside and to the bottom of the container, which leaves a large mass of media in the middle of the pot with little root mass.
Ah, I see.
And since it has little root mass in the middle of the pot, it gets waterlogged because the roots actually help maintain the air-to-water ratio by sucking up the water. But when there's no roots sucking up that water, that media in the middle becomes waterlogged. That can actually kill the roots. That creates the plant sort of growing more roots around the edges of the plant. And so if you start a plant in a final container and at the end of the grow, you excavate that container, you'll notice that there's a bunch of roots all the way around the periphery of the plant and there's almost no roots in the middle.
Man, that makes perfect sense. Right? Yeah, I never knew. Like I understood all those things like that if you're in too big of a container, it's not going to dry and drain right. And I knew that exactly. The way the shape and roots grow, but I never linked all of that together. That's a really good point. That's why you start small and work your way up.
And that's right. So now if you can think about if you put it in like a seedling pot and you get the roots to fill up that seedling pot before you put it into like a 1 gallon container, right? And now that seedling pot is like full of dense roots. The area that used to be the seedling pot is full of these dense roots that if you had just grown the plant there, there would be no dense roots there. All the roots would have grown right past that area and out to the bottom of the plant, right?
Yeah.
So you get that area of dense roots, and then the roots have to colonize that 1 gallon container of media that you have, and they get sort of well densified there before you pot up again. And this is a way, really more than anything else, of ensuring that the roots colonize the full volume of the media. That's why we go up in those successive stages. It's a form of root training. The other issue there, and so we do that with every single container-grown plant that's like cannabis. There's really no exceptions to that. There's no plants that grow better if you start them in final containers. And autoflowering cannabis plants are certainly not an exception to that. In fact, it's even more important because time is so limited when you're growing autos that you need to start them in a small container so that they don't put all of their energy into roots. If you put a little plant in a giant container, it's going to be trying to find the bottom of that container with its roots, and it's going to have to grow really big roots. And it's only got this little plant above the ground that's trying to support the growth of like a huge root mass. If you start it in a little container, it leads to much more balanced sort of above ground and below ground growth. It makes it much easier for you to maintain the correct air to water ratio in the root zone, which keeps healthier roots and allows them to grow faster. Mm-hmm. And autoflowers absolutely benefit from a transplant strategy. In fact, I see so many growers showing up with their autos already in these big containers, and it's just kind of like, well, there's not a lot I can do for you at this point because you're going to end up with smaller plants because they're going to be having to sort of dedicate so much of their energy early to root growth.
Man, that is just, you're dropping knowledge here, Coco. I love it.
Yeah, cool. So transplant, the risk of transplant shock is a thing in horticulture because we like dig up trees from the ground and try to move them to another location, right? And that cuts tap roots, and that causes like tremendous like damage to the plant.
Yeah, talk to me.
You'll never hear if you go to a nursery, you'll never hear them talking about transplant shock when they're talking about potting up.
Right.
When they're just taking it from a small container and putting it in a big container. That's not when we get transplant shock. That's not the kind of transplanting that leads to shock. So as long as you're doing it safely and sort of
gently,
waiting long enough for the roots to develop and being careful and to some extent about how you remove the plant and sort of get it into the new container relatively quickly, you're not going to end up with transplant shock. So as long as you follow sort of the basic how-tos, I got an article on transplanting on the website.
Ooh, yeah, check that out. I'm interested in that. Yeah, I know a lot of people throw in some mycorrhiza and all this stuff, but I've always been like skeptical of how impactful that is too, especially if you do it around like a light shift. It's like maybe it's just the light shift that's freaking them out, you know?
Yeah, well, a little bit of root pruning also isn't the end of the world. So if a little bit of if the roots at the ends get cut, that just encourages more fibrous root growth. The kind of root sort of pruning that leads to real shock and that you would want to mitigate with, you know, mycorrhiza or put some even rooting solution or other things like that to help them recover is when you really do significant damage to the tap roots or to the main root ball.
Right.
If all you're doing is sort of cutting away, like I grow in all fabric containers and I grow, my second step is usually a 1/2 gallon fabric container and the roots grow right through that container and I got to cut them all in order to transplant out of that. But that kind of sort of cutting of the roots isn't something you have to be worried about. So I definitely recommend starting your autoflowers and seedling containers, going to a second step, waiting for the roots to really fill in that second step, and then putting them in the final containers. They'll grow a lot more consistently, a lot faster throughout, and really you shouldn't end up with any kind of transplant shock from doing that.
I love it, man. That was exceptionally enlightening. Oh. All right, before we jump back in with Dr. Coco, let's give a little love to Gorilla Grow Tents, everybody. Love Gorilla Grow Tent. Go to GorillaGrowTent.com. Promo code GROWCAST gets you free shipping on your tent. And members of MyGrowPass.com get 10% off their tents, plus free shipping, everybody. Frustrated with the cheap, flimsy grow tents that don't stand the test of time, a group of California growers, designers, and engineers collaborated in San Francisco in 2011 to revolutionize the future of indoor gardening. That's right, they created the Gorilla Grow Tent. Each Gorilla Grow Tent is thick, safe, smart, strong, tall, odor-proof, stealthy, insulated, and durable, truly transcending the term grow tent. They have durable canvas and steel interlocking poles, easy-view windows, which are really nice, industrial-strength zippers, double-cinching ducting ports. Gorilla Grow Tents are the best, and they can even reach 10 feet tall with their height extension kits, everyone. They're the best grow tent out there, so if you're looking for a grow tent, you know where to go. GorillaGrowTent.com, promo code GROWCAST for free shipping, and 10% off when you join our membership at MyGrowPass.com. Gorilla Grow Tent, everybody. All right, let's get back to the show. I feel like this is going to be a two-parter, but why don't we just, I'm going to jump around. Let's plow ahead. We touched on it a second ago. Would you mind skipping ahead, talking about light cycles here? We talked about...
Yeah, no, not at all. Let's jump into that. Is that sort of related to what we were talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, we were talking, you know, when we talk about light cycles, 18.6 versus 12.12, you know, maximizing that light time, what's the optimum time? When it comes to the veg phase of photoperiods, you know, there's still a lot of people that do, and especially in the beginning, you know, when you got your clones, you do the 24 hours on. Talk to me about 18.6 versus 24 in seedlings and vegging plants and what you think of all that.
Well, a few things. There's different sort of arguments about this. There's the argument that sort of all living things need to sleep, right? You hear that kind of a lot. And clearly that's on the face of it, it's not true. Some growers grow very effectively with 24-0
right.
And end up with really good plants and really good harvests. So cannabis plants technically do not need a dark period in order to survive and produce. When you add to that the sort of thought that photosynthesis only occurs when the plants receive light, a lot of growers think that, okay, well, then 24-0 is going to be better and faster. I'm going to allow photosynthesis to be occurring all of the time, and they don't need a rest cycle. There's really... It's tough to argue with that. And I actually do 24-0 early in the seedling stage.
For sure.
Like the first few days of the seedling stage. But then I'll switch over to either 20 on, 4 off, or 18 on, 6 off. And there's a couple of reasons that we recommend not going with the 24-0 cycle. One of them, it's not related to photosynthesis as much as it's just related to the circadian rhythm. And this is sort of where there's some truth to that idea that all living creatures need sleep.
Yeah, you're using the same term as that they use when they're talking about human sleep there.
Yeah. It's not that they need sleep with the circadian rhythm and plants as much as they need a rhythm. They need sort of a cycle to go through, and they get used to that cycle.
There's so like processes that take place. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, there are processes that take place. The plant will do different kinds of processes when the lights are off than when the lights are on. If you leave the lights on all the time, that forces the plant to do those things that it would do when the lights were off while the lights are on. It still ends up...
Oh, interesting.
It still ends up doing everything basically that it needs to do, but it has to prioritize it in a different way. And that may make photosynthesis less efficient if you're doing 24-0. So that's really the other reason. But let me talk about the circadian rhythm. Plants have like a hormonal clock. And just as humans do, just as animals do, it functions in sync with a light on, light off cycle. And there has been research with plants. There hasn't been a lot of good research with cannabis plants, but there has been research with plants that really show that changes to that internal clock affect genetic expression. And so different sort of circadian rhythms can affect gene expression in the way the sort of plants, you know, grow and produce their
different traits.
Exactly. And they've done pretty big reviews on this. There's actually quite a bit of science on this that shows some plants do just fine under 24-0 lighting. There's really no sort of drop-off in performance. So they show no drop-off in performance, meaning that a plant that's under 24 hours of light grows 25% more than a plant that's under 18 hours of light because it's getting 25% more light, right? Wow. So there's not like a diminishing returns. With most plants, there is a diminishing returns. And some plants have really sort of showed negative results of being grown under 24-hour lighting in terms of genetic expression and in terms of sort of overall vigor. When it comes to cannabis plants, there are some strains of cannabis that do really well under 24-0 lighting. And there are other strains of cannabis that don't do as well and seem to do much better under 18-6. And that lends credence to the belief that the 24-0 lighting affects all cannabis plants, but some just do better with it than others. But it's not something that is sort of not affecting them in terms of that drop-off in efficiency. And so you want to think both about the way that the circadian rhythm affects the genetic expression, but you also want to think about the returns to the amount of light that you're using. If you go from 18-6 to 24-0, you're increasing your electrical consumption for your grow by about 25%.
Right.
You're going to be running the lights 25% more than you did without that, right? And so you're not going to get 25% more growth with cannabis.
True.
So you're getting diminishing returns to the amount that you're investing in electricity, and you're potentially causing these sort of genetic expression issues where the plant isn't able to express itself the way it would if it sort of had a well-functioning circadian rhythm. So I think those are fairly compelling reasons to give plants a short dark period once a day and sort of establish that rhythm for the plant. You're not really costing yourself much in terms of overall growth by giving 6 or 4 hours of darkness.
Yeah.
And that's true with autoflowers sort of straight through their cycle. Some people grow autoflowers under 24-0 all the way through. And I think the study that Dutch Passion was talking about suggests that they thought the plants did much better with 4 hours of darkness. And Really, some of the genetic expression issues that I was talking about, if we're only thinking about that in terms of vegetative growth, it's probably not as important.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. It's so much more important in flower.
Exactly. And so if you're running your autos under 24-0, I don't think you're getting what you're paying for out of that experience, right? I think that you'd probably end up with potentially better quality and not significantly lower yield by running 18.6 or 24.0.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. We're just getting started here. We got to do a part two to this FAQ because we got a hard out here.
Yeah.
Man, this was great, Dr. Coco. Let's just follow up. We'll, as soon as your schedule opens up a little bit, we'll get you back on the show and we'll follow up with the rest of these questions. It's always so enjoyable to speak to you, man.
Yeah, no. I'm really looking forward. I was going to come back and talk a little bit about diagnosing plants too. I think that would be fun. You know, I think a lot of growers get into their plant diagnosis and they try to be like super specific about trying to figure out like, you know, it's some specific micronutrient deficiency or toxicity,
right,
or some issue like that. And I think that there are sort of more general things to think about in terms of, you know, how to diagnose your plant's symptoms and how to sort of address that. So I'm looking forward to coming on and talking about that,
yes,
too. Yeah.
Yes. And of course, all you growers, you got to join the New Year's Grow Challenge, cocoforcannabis.com. Check out what they got going over there with all their resources and their live chat and the Growers Challenge dropping when? The new year, January 1st, right, Dr. Coco?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's an easy date to remember. It's the New Year's Grow Challenge because it starts on the new year, you know, and it is a really great sort of resolution. Make a resolution to grow together, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I love it. I absolutely love the challenge. Please keep us up to date. We'll have you back really soon. And yeah, thank you all for listening to the show, of course. Let's see, cocoforcannabis.com, growcastpodcast.com. Check out the merch tab there. Nothing else really on the... Oh, yeah, for the membership program, charity starts January 1st. That's right. We're actually closing membership January 7th. You can register up until the close, and then we're going to focus on perfecting the program. And for all of Q1, we are partnering with Jinx's charity, Northwest Families for Autism. So we're going to be giving every single month. The more the program grows, the more we give everybody. Awesome. One more time, Dr. Coco. Thank you so much, buddy.
Awesome. Absolutely. Love it, Jordan. And I look forward to coming back on and talking to you again.
Thank you all so much. This is Dr. Coco and Jordan River signing off, saying be safe and grow smarter. All right, everyone. That's our show today with Dr. Coco. What an excellent show. We got part two coming shortly. We've got some more episodes with Dr. Coco coming. So a lot to look forward to with that collaboration there. Shout out to Jay Blanked for doing the music for the ads, soundcloud.com/Jay Blanked. Shout out to Start to Finish Consulting, Start2Finish710 on Instagram. And remember, mygrowpass.com membership registration closing January 7th, so check it out today. I hope you guys are killing it in your grows out there. I hope you're learning new things every day. Thank you all so much for giving me your ears, your downloads, your listens, your streams. All right, everyone, best of luck. I hope you're having heavy, sticky yields. Happy growing out there, everybody. Bye-bye.